Isaiah chapter 28 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 32. We'll read verse 2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28. Read verses 9 and 10. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In each of these verses, we see the word doctrine. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, that's the record of the parting address of Moses to Israel. Verse 2 is the preliminary remarks of Moses and expresses his desire, his confidence concerning what he was about to say to them, concerning his words to them. It was his desire, it was his prayer, that his doctrine and his speech, one and the same, his speech was a way of expressing his doctrine. His desire is that this would have the effect of rain and dew upon the earth, just as rain and dew has upon the herbs and the grass, which makes them fragrant, makes them fresh, makes them growing. We see also there's a purifying effect with the word distill there in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2. So it is his desire, it is his prayer, that his doctrine would penetrate into their hearts like the rain and the dew, influencing them and producing good effects upon them. In Isaiah, we see that doctrine is something that can be learned, something that can be understood. We see that in verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And then he answers the question. Them that are weaned from the milk. That is, there has to be a progression. So, doctrine is something that can be known. It is something that can be understood. And we see that the learning and the understanding, we see how it comes about in verse 10, and that is precept upon precept, line upon line. That is repeatedly and systematically. That is how doctrine is known, and that is how doctrine is understood. In the text in 2 Timothy, we see that the Word of God, the Bible, is profitable. It's beneficial. It's useful. And then he mentions five profitable functions of the Word of God. And the very first one that he mentions is doctrine. And I believe the order is important. Doctrine. The Word of God is the God-inspired source for doctrine. That is why we read, notice in Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So the Word of God is the source of doctrine. Commentaries are not the source of doctrine. When I was young, every preacher I knew, and it was the advice they gave to everyone, and I'm not being critical, I just disagree. Buy as many books as you can buy. Read them, read them, read them. I disagree. Commentaries are not the source of doctrine. I believe the best instruction that you could give to a young preacher is don't buy a single book until you've learned this book. But you first learn the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Commentaries are not the source of truth, nor is the written or spoken word of man the source of truth, nor are opinions the source of truth or doctrine, nor are the philosophies of man the source of Bible doctrine. The conclusions of man, even if they be conclusions drawn from the Word of God, are not the source of doctrine. Religion is not the source of doctrine. Tradition is not the source of Bible doctrine. There is only one source for Bible doctrine. That is the Word of God. The Word of God. And the best teacher of Bible doctrine is the Holy Spirit. So, in this message, we want to center our thoughts upon that word, doctrine. It simply means a creed. A creed. It's a teaching. An ideology, a precept. It is a word that occurs 51 times in our King James Bibles, doctrine. It appears both in the positive and the negative connotation. Most of the time, the word doctrine, singular, appears in the positive connotation, but again, not always. Sometimes it's in the negative. There is the word doctrines, plural. It only appears five times in the King James Bible, and it's always in the negative connotation. The plural is never used in referring to truth. The singular is always used in referring to truth or to Bible doctrine. For example, in Matthew 15, verse 9, Mark 7, verse 9, we read, teaching the doctrines, plural, teaching four doctrines, the commandments of men. In Matthew, or in Colossians 2, verse 22, you have the commandments and doctrines of men. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, you have the doctrines of devils, the doctrines of demons. Hebrews 13, verse 9, you have divers, or multiple and assorted, and strange doctrines. Strange being unfamiliar to Bible truth, to the source, unfamiliar to the source of Bible doctrine. So you have doctrine, and you have doctrines. I want to speak this evening on Bible doctrine. Sadly, so-called Christendom, the word doctrine is viewed with much disinterest, even in Baptist churches. Not a whole lot of interest in doctrine. May I say, if there's not a whole lot of interest in doctrine, there's not a whole lot of interest in the Bible. If you do away with doctrine, you don't have much. And there's even a contempt toward the word doctrine. And the word doctrine is often met with ridicule. Paul warned of such. Notice in 2 Timothy, very familiar passage, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, for the time will come, and it has, when they will not endure, that is, they will not tolerate it. They will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So the day will come, and the day has come, when men will not endure sound doctrine. They're not able to. Not able to tolerate it. Not able to listen to it. And they begin to have desires for other teachers. And the reason is because of what their ears want to hear. And these individuals will turn away their ears from the truth. And the result of that is always the same. You turn away from truth, you reject truth, you're going to replace it with something. Fables or error. So that's the day in which we live, of course. And most so-called churches today have designed their service to accommodate those who are offended by Bible doctrine, those who do not want anything to do with Bible doctrine. The sad result is that so-called churches are today nothing more than entertainment centers filled with so-called ministries. There's so many ministries today, and most of them are based upon nothing, because they've done away with doctrine. By Bible doctrine, we simply mean the teaching of God's Word. The teaching of God's Word. That's Bible doctrine. And we simply want to notice some characteristics about Bible doctrine. First of all, Bible doctrine deals with biblical facts. It's not Bible doctrine if it does not deal with biblical facts. If it does not deal with biblical facts, it's error. So Bible doctrine deals with biblical facts. It deals with the facts and principles that are expressed in God's Word. God's Word expresses one fact after another, one principle after another. And contrary to the thinking of most, these facts are not subjective. By that we simply mean they're not influenced by personal feelings, not changed by personal feelings. They're not influenced or changed by personal opinion. Bible facts are not subjective. Bible facts are objective. That is, they're uninfluenced by outside forces. Nothing changes Bible facts. And Bible doctrine, again, is the presentation of Bible facts. Now, it is declared in 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, showing that Bible doctrine is objective, not subject to human opinion or human action. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Whether you and I believe or not, that does not change God. And whether you and I believe or not, that does not change God's word. That shows that it's objective. It's not subjective to our opinions or our feelings. He cannot deny himself. So the acts and thoughts of man have no bearing upon the person of God. The acts and thoughts of man have no bearing upon the word of God. It does not change. It does not determine the facts of God's word. So Bible doctrine is the facts of the word of God, regardless of the thoughts or acts of man, and regardless of the time, and regardless of the circumstances. Therefore, the word of God is called in Daniel 10, verse 21, the scripture of truth. The writings of truth. James 1, verse 18, it is referred to as the word of truth. So Bible doctrine is simply Bible facts. Therefore, Bible doctrine is certain, just as certain as the Word of God. Bible doctrine is definite. The Bible does not speak in obscure terms. The Bible, and if the Bible spoke in obscure terms, people wouldn't get as upset with it as they do. You see, the Bible speaks very plainly, and that's why it offends so many people. Bible doctrine is very definite. It's very plain. Bible doctrine is firm. It's unwavering. It's unfailing. Bible doctrine is not dependent upon man determining or even discovering Bible facts or what the Bible says. Now, you cannot be sound biblically if you do not discover what the Bible says. But whether you and I ever discover what the Bible says does not change what it says. Does not change Bible doctrine. So Bible doctrine is not dependent upon our discovering it. Bible doctrine is not man's conclusions drawn from the facts. You can read a fact about anything and draw a wrong conclusion. It happens all the time with the Word of God. People can read the fact presented in the Word of God and yet draw the wrong conclusion. The problem is not with the fact. The problem is with the individual who has drawn an erroneous conclusion. So again, Bible doctrine is not dependent upon man's conclusions from the facts. Bible doctrine is simply the facts as presented in God's Word. But again, if our doctrine is Bible, then we must receive what the Bible says. You cannot be biblically sound if you refuse to receive what the Bible says. Bible doctrine deals with, again, objective biblical facts. And Bible doctrine is a means of expressing and defining those facts and even propagating those facts. So, Bible doctrine is the facts of the Bible. Also, Bible doctrine is distinguished from all other doctrine. All other. It stands all by itself. It needs no other to support it. In 1 John 4 and verse 7, we read of the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And the two are apart from one another. You have truth, you have error. And it is truth that determines error. Anything contrary to truth is error. So therefore, truth determines error. Man does not determine error. Bible doctrine determines error. If it's contrary to Bible facts, it's wrong. It's error. Doesn't matter how many people support it. Doesn't change the fact that it's contrary to truth. Repeatedly in the Gospels, we read concerning Christ, His doctrine. His doctrine that distinguishes it from all others. It's His doctrine. John 7, verse 16, Jesus says, "My doctrine." So it's His doctrine. My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. So He's not only saying there that His doctrine is not separate from the Father's doctrine, but it is also a statement that God the Father has doctrine. Has doctrine. The doctrine of Jesus Christ is the same as the doctrine of God the Father. We read in Acts 13 and verse 12, the doctrine of the Lord. Now, certainly the doctrine of the Lord is different from the commandments and doctrines of men. It's two entirely different things. The doctrine of the Lord is distinct from the commandments and doctrines of men. Certainly the doctrine of the Lord is different than the doctrines of devils. Certainly there's a difference. So for anyone who says, well, it doesn't matter what you believe, you mean to tell me there's no difference between the doctrine of the Lord and the doctrine of men? There's no difference between the doctrine of the Lord and the doctrines of demons? Most certainly there is. The doctrine of the Lord is distinguished from all others. Certainly the doctrine of the Lord is different than divers and strange doctrines that we've already referred to. And they are so much, and they're much different from what we read in Matthew 16 and verse 12. We read there of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Certainly there is a difference between the doctrine of the Lord and the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees is just modern day religion. There's a difference. And there's a difference between what we read in Revelation 2, verse 14 and 15, where we read of the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Certainly there is a difference between the doctrine of the Lord and the doctrines of Balaam and the Nicolaitans. In Ephesians 4 and verse 14, we read of every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. Now, again, the doctrine of the Lord is distinct from that. And we read in Ephesians 4, verse 4, or in Jeremiah 10, in verse 8, we read of the doctrine of vanities, doctrines of emptiness. And that's what many hold to today. They talk, and after they've talked for 45 minutes, they haven't said a thing. It's doctrines of vanities. Doctrines of vanities. Doctrines of emptiness. But Bible doctrine is distinguished from all of these others. So much so that it is the standard of measurement for all other doctrine. See, that's the left today wants to do away with all standards, because if you have nothing to measure by, then nothing's wrong. Bible doctrine is the standard. The Word of God is the standard. And therefore we read in 2 John verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. Doesn't say, if any man come unto you and bring not doctrine. That would be a wide open statement. But he says, and bring not this doctrine. Bible doctrine. Bible truth. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. In Romans 16 and verse 17, we read of that which is contrary to sound doctrine. So you see, Bible doctrine is a standard of measure. It's a standard of measure. Those who do not believe anything, the first thing they want to jump to is, well, you're judging. Who are you to judge error? We don't judge error. The Bible has already judged it. Bible doctrine has already judged it. Bible doctrine has already declared it's error. And the individual is either going to receive Bible doctrine or they're not. But there's that which is contrary to sound doctrine. Bible doctrine is so separate from all others that we repeatedly in the Gospels read that when people heard Jesus Christ teach and preach, that they were astonished. That is, they were stunned. Because they hadn't heard anything like it. They were aghast at his doctrine. One such incident occurs at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 7, verse 28, we read, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. And you read the Sermon on the Mount. It's quite different than what the world believes. It's quite different than what religion teaches. It's almost humorous how much religion refers to the Sermon on the Mount. They deny every bit of it. I mean, they don't practice any of it. And yet they make reference to it. We read in Matthew 13, verse 54, following Jesus' teaching in the synagogue, they that heard him were astonished, and then they said, whence hath this man this wisdom? So they recognized that his doctrine, where did he get this? This is something completely different. Bible doctrine is different from what the religious world is used to hearing. It's different. That's why people can say, I grew up in church all my life and I never heard that. And that's accurate. It's sad, but it's the truth. Bible doctrine is considered very unusual, even by the religious world. We read in Mark 1:22, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In other words, his doctrine had, it was different than the scribes who were the learned men, but even more important, it had power. There was a force in it. It did something to them. There was an authority in it. That's why people hate it today. You can get up and talk about all kinds of fluff and people feel good, but you lay out Bible doctrine, Bible facts. There's an authority. People don't like that. They feel threatened. They get uncomfortable. So there is a power in Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine can be learned and understood. We see that from our text in Isaiah 28 and verse 9. I mean, if you think about it, what good would Bible again, Bible doctrine is Bible facts. What good would Bible facts be to us if we could not understand them? What's the point? What would be the point? There is none. Bible doctrine can be learned. Bible doctrine can be understood. In Isaiah 28, in verse 9, he speaks of knowledge. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Knowledge is, you can have a knowledge of doctrine, Bible doctrine. Knowledge is simply an awareness. Certainly, we must have an awareness of Bible doctrine, a consciousness of it, to be familiar with it. That's what it means to know Bible doctrine, to know Bible facts. You can take kids that have been raised in Sunday school and they know more Bible facts than the average adult walking down the road. They know Bible facts. That doesn't make them doctrinally sound, but you have to know facts before you can understand them. There's a process. So we can know, Bible doctrine can be known, but then that progresses, make to understand His doctrine. It's something God does. He makes us understand. So the understanding is not of ourselves. To understand is to go beyond knowledge. To understand means that we have some comprehension what this fact means. For example, the Bible says God is light. That's a fact. God is light. Someone says, well, that's your interpretation. How else do you interpret God is light? How else can you interpret that? You can't. That's the thing about the Bible. That's what upsets so many people about the Bible. You can't change that. God is light. So we know that. But to understand it means that we have a comprehension what that means. It's a discernment. It's also an appreciation. When you understand something, you begin to appreciate it. And when a person understands Bible doctrine, they appreciate it. They do not ridicule it. Those who ridicule truth have no understanding of truth. You do not ridicule what you understand. We read in 1 Timothy 4, verse 6, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereof thou hast attained. So, Bible doctrine can be known, it can be understood, it can be attained. And that ought to fill the hearts of God's people with excitement. That ought to fill the hearts of God's people with desire. Paul exhorted Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Pay attention to doctrine. Pay attention to Bible facts. He says, pay attention to it. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Unto the doctrine. And in 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, he speaks of pastors who labor in the word and doctrine. Takes work. Labor in the word and doctrine. So in light of the fact that Bible doctrine can be known, understood, and attained, give attention to it. Pay attention to it. Labor in it that you might progress forward. We're told in Isaiah 28, verse 10, that Bible doctrine is learned precept upon precept, line upon line. That takes us back to grade school. That's how we learned. Precept upon precept, line upon line. And you notice there in Isaiah 28, verse 10, both of those are repeated. It's precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Repetition. Repetition is one of the laws of teaching. It is the main law of teaching, repetition. And the Bible doctrine is learned by repetition. This, and then it goes on to say, here a little and there a little. In other words, you don't learn it all at once. Just like back to school again. You didn't learn to read all at once. You didn't learn to read in one day. It was here a little, there a little. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. But there's a progression. If there is no progression, you do not learn. And there must be a progression in Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine is systematic. We see that here again in our text in Isaiah 28. Precept upon precept, line upon line. That not only manifests or reveals the process of truly knowing and understanding Bible doctrine, but it also tells us that Bible doctrine is systematic. You have to learn some truths before you learn others. That's true in almost any subject. So, Bible doctrine is a cohesive unit. That's why it's in the singular throughout the Word of God. It's cohesive. Precept upon precept, line upon line. One Bible precept does not deny another Bible precept. One Bible precept does not contradict another Bible precept. And any time you think it does, you're misunderstanding that precept. It's precept upon precept. You build upon precept to the next precept. It's one line upon line. One line does not deny or contradict another line. It's imperative that we remember this when studying the Word of God. Bible does not contradict itself. The Lord does not teach a truth here and then deny it over here. And that's how you can always look at Bible doctrine. Is, okay, someone, I have this thought. And they present their thought concerning the Bible. And you say, well, there's a problem with that thought. Well, what's that? Well, such and such a verse over here contradicts that thought. So your thought is erroneous. Your thought is erroneous. Bible doctrine is cohesive. The structure and arrangement of Bible doctrine is cohesive. And therefore, again, Bible doctrine is always in the singular. It's not doctrines. It's doctrine. It's in the singular. The foundation of all Bible doctrine is God. And I believe that is the first teaching of Scripture that we need to learn. It's who God is. As you look at all false doctrine, they're all based upon erroneous views of God. So God's the foundation. We have to be established in who He is. And if it's truth, it does not contradict, it does not deny who God is. So Bible doctrine is systematic, precept upon precept. Now, God reveals what He wants us to know in the Word of God. Not everything is revealed concerning God, concerning the mind of God, concerning the things of God. Not everything is revealed in the Word of God. There is such a thing as secret things. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord." Never forget that. The secret things belong unto the Lord, our God. But those things which are revealed. Okay, so now He's telling us what He means by secret things. It's the unrevealed. But those things which are revealed belong unto us. They're our responsibility. And to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. A lot of heresy and erroneous doctrine, erroneous doctrinal systems have been built upon that which has not been revealed. People have a knack of wanting to know what God doesn't tell us. They want to know that. When I pastored in Streamwood, there was a man there in Corinthians, I believe it is. He talks about the letter to the Laodiceans. And this man came to church and he was just beside himself. "We have got to find out about the letter of the Laodiceans. There may be something in there that we really need to know." Well, if there was, God would have put it in His book. And let me tell you, whatever was in the letter of the Laodiceans didn't contradict what was in the book. But again, people want to know what is not revealed. And there's a great danger. Because then they begin to build a foundation. And if you are building upon the foundation of what is not revealed, you're building upon man's opinions and all kinds of bad things will happen. What we need to realize is everything that is in this book is what God has revealed to us. There are things that God has not revealed to us. And what God has not revealed to us, I hope we have enough wisdom not to pretend that we know, because we don't. And it's very dangerous to guess. So just leave the secret things with the Lord. Just leave it with Him. Bible doctrine is valuable. It's referred to as sound. 1 Timothy 1:10, 2 Timothy 4:3, Titus 1:9, Titus 2:1. That which is sound is solid, it's valid, it's authoritative, it's reliable. It is referred to as good doctrine. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 2, 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. That which is good is virtuous, it's right, it's correct, it's appropriate. It's always appropriate. So Bible doctrine also promotes and is necessary to true worship. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 9, "But in vain do they worship me." And here's why. teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. As soon as they do that, they are worshiping me in vain. Jesus told the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 that we must worship in spirit and truth. Bible doctrine is necessary to worship. So all of these people today who want to say, well, we're not interested in doctrine, we're just here to worship God. You know not what you worship. That's what Paul told them on Mars Hill. You know not what you worship. Your worship is empty. Your worship is vain. It's got to be based upon something. It's got to be based upon truth. Bible doctrine is connected with spiritual maturity. Ephesians 4, verse 13 speaks of the faith and the stature and the fullness of Christ. Stature and fullness of Christ, speaking of maturity. In verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, talking about being babes. And in verse 15, may grow up in him in all things. And each of those statements goes back to the faith, which is doctrine, Bible doctrine. We see also that Bible doctrine serves as an anchor for the soul. Paul in Ephesians 4, verse 13, speaks of the faith again. And then verse 14, he says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. It's the faith that serves as an anchor. It's the truth. It's Bible doctrine that serves as an anchor for the soul. Again, people need to get grounded in Bible doctrine. They need to have conviction concerning Bible doctrine. They need to have conviction concerning who God is. And if they do not have that, they're going to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And you know, people will say, well, this is a new doctrine. There is no new doctrines today. They all go back to the garden. Oh, they're packaged a little differently. But when you start breaking them down, it's the same old lies over and over and over again. So Bible doctrine is also connected to godliness. We read in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3, the doctrine which is according to godliness. Bible doctrine does not lead you to be ungodly. Bible doctrine promotes godliness. It always does. There is not a fact in the Word of God that would encourage ungodliness. Every fact presented in the Word of God promotes godliness. It is the doctrine according to godliness. The ungodly hate it. They hate it. Bible doctrine relates and corresponds to and is in line with godliness. Bible doctrine and godliness are not two separate entities. They're vitally connected. So what we're saying is Bible doctrine produces practical effects in life. And you get all these people today who say, well, our church, we don't believe in doctrine. Well, that's an honest statement. We just believe in the practical. Now, there's a deception. It's Bible doctrine that leads to the practical. The practical must have a foundation. If it has no foundation, it's not practical. Bible doctrine leads to practical living, or in other words, it relates and it corresponds to life. It's what you can use in life. And this is seen in Paul's pattern. In every one of Paul's epistles, he presents doctrine first and then the practical. That's why he uses the word therefore over and over and over again. He establishes a truth. He presents a truth. And then toward the end of the letter, he speaks of the practical effects of that truth. But it's the doctrine that is the foundation for the practical. So doctrinal teaching equals practical results. That is, if you understand doctrine. If you just know it, It's not going to lead to much of anything. But you have to understand it. So Bible doctrine is foundational to living for God. Gives us motivation for living to God. Titus 2 verse 10, we are encouraged to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. That is, we're to beautify it. We're to beautify it with the way that we live. We're to beautify it with godly behavior. We beautify our doctrine. And we've run out of time, but you read Titus 2 verses 11 through 14, what the grace of God teaches us, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil world. That's what doctrine teaches. So the value of Bible doctrine, it's so valuable. And yet people will say, well, we just need to preach Christ. That's doctrine. Christ is doctrine. We just need to preach Christ and not concern ourselves with doctrine. That's an ignorant statement. Christ is doctrine. Others will say we do not need to dwell upon outdated doctrine. There is Bible doctrine is Bible facts. There is not a Bible fact that's out of date. Not a single one. No such thing as outdated Bible doctrine. No such thing. Some will say we need preaching that applies to everyday living rather than abstract doctrinal preaching. First of all, Bible doctrine is not abstract. It's not abstract. And it's what, again, gives foundation to the practical. So without Bible doctrine, everything is just empty form. That's all it is. It's empty. Doesn't amount to anything. Bible doctrine works within us. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're trying to hurry here. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Bible doctrine works effectually. When it is received, it works effectually. Others will say, doctrine is divisive. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But there is also a sweet unity around Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine does divide. That's one of the purposes of doctrine. But we read in Ephesians 4 verse 13 of the unity of the faith. There's nothing like a unity of the faith. So yes, Bible doctrine does divide. But it also, there's a sweet unity about it as well. It should be our desire and prayer that the doctrine of the Word of God deeply affect our heart, deeply affect our tongues, our composure, our passions, our inclinations, our conduct, our dress, our overall demeanor. Bible doctrine should have a deep effect upon our hearts. And it does when we understand it. Again, you can just know facts. Doesn't necessarily do anything. But when we receive them as the rain and the dew, it works effectual. And in closing, our behavior and manner of living should be in such a way that we do not cast blasphemy upon what we believe. Notice 1 Timothy 6 verse 1 and we will close. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. We must not blaspheme God or His doctrine. You blaspheme one, you've blasphemed the other. The two go together. You can't separate God and his doctrine, his teaching. So, oh, how we ought to thank God for Bible doctrine. In a day of shallowness, we ought to want to dig deeper and deeper and to understand more and more doctrine, Bible facts. You don't have to go out and buy a theology book. Best theology book there is right here. There's no better. No better. Man's opinions are not inserted anywhere in this book. Best place to find Bible doctrine is in the Word of God. God help us to understand more and more every day Bible doctrine. Do not confuse, many have, do not confuse traditions with Bible doctrine. Even if it's a good tradition, do not confuse it with Bible doctrine. Do not confuse extra biblical convictions. We all have them, and not necessarily anything wrong with them, but don't confuse those with Bible doctrine. Because people will take more of a stand on their extra biblical conviction than they will Bible doctrine. God help us to always be able to distinguish between truth and error. Brother Tim, if you'd come.